Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In their new book, authors Bruce Hayman and Vicki Hayman talk about relationships. But it's not a self-help book or romance novel. It's a memoir about their time serving their country as ambassadors to Canada. Technically, it was Bruce who was the ambassador, but the two of them worked so seamless as a team that it's hard to discern beyond official titles. And that was kind of by design. The book is called The Art of Diplomacy, Strengthening the Canada-U.S. Relationship in Times of Uncertainty. Bruce was the ambassador to Canada from 2014 to 2017 under then-President Barack Obama. The Haymans live in Chicago, and Bruce and Vicki are in studio on Extension 720. Thanks for being here.
Oh, great being here.
It's a pleasure to have you, Ambassador. What did you know about Canada before you got this job?
So my first international trip as a nine-year-old boy was to Montreal Expo 67. We traveled to Canada for vacations and fun. We did it throughout our lives. And I also did business in Canada, working in the finance industry for a lot of years. But you know, when you just go visit a place and you just stop in, go to a restaurant, stay at a hotel, maybe see a few sights, and you get on your plane and fly home, you really never get to know a place as well as when you live there. And so the difference between visiting and living in a place is something we were so pleased to experience. And we came away with such a deep appreciation of the importance of the U.S.-Canada relationship and how wonderful the Canadians are.
Well, I mentioned right at the top of this interview that you really could have both, you were co-ambassadors, and there was a decision to make, both of you working for the Obama campaign. You got the opportunity to become ambassador. There was a conversation, at least, about who was going to be the ambassador. I mean, I'm kind of poking fun in the beginning, but Vicki, it really was sort of a coin flip.
Bruce and I had both taken leadership roles in the campaign in 11 and 12. I was one of the co-chairs for the state of Illinois for the Finance Committee for the re-election of the president, and Bruce worked on a business advisory council. We had been also involved in 2008, and we'd been on this Obama journey. We were at a time in our lives where, you know, our kids were out of the house, and we were had this opportunity to serve our community, you know, get involved in the campaign. Bruce had a long-standing career, and we felt this is a time to give back. And we knew that we had we felt that we both lead in different ways. We have different focuses. We have different strengths. And we've always worked as a team. And we realized at that juncture that, you know, possibly either of us could have taken the role of ambassador, yet we felt that the roles that we knew we were going to tackle as a team, we felt the roles that we pre-selected for ourselves, if given the opportunity, because there was no guarantee there would even be an opportunity, that Bruce would take the lead as the ambassador working in economics and policy, and I was going to be in charge of the cultural mantle and trying to really use a lot of the team building and community building skills I'd done on the campaign to create community across the country of Canada through culture.
Yeah.
So it was really very synergistic. And when we arrived in Canada after being, you know, granted this extraordinary opportunity, we let the Canadian people know that in fact, I was going to run with the culture mantle, and we were going to work seamlessly. And not only the Canadian people, but the folks at the State Department. When we addressed the State Department for the very first time, we did it as a team. We called it Town Hall, and the ambassador, Bruce, walks up, and I walk up right next to him, and they're kind of like, okay, what's happening here? And we've really always approached our life like that. And, you know, even Vice President Biden at our swearing in, you know, with a twinkle in his eye, he said, U.S. is lucky, Canada's lucky, we're getting a twofer here. And they welcomed the idea of this engaging partnership.
I think it's also important because Canada thinks of spouses as partners. They call them partners in Canada. So the concept is not that foreign as it might be with other countries in relegating the more formal aspects of the ambassadorial title. And I think Canada being very open to this type of relationship was a particularly important part of our selection process.
You know, when we decided, yes, this is our time, we're going to segue out of our traditional lives here in Chicago and look to the potential for this opportunity, we'd sit at home and thinking, well, where do we want to go? And there was never a doubt in our mind. It
well,
was
you
always
had the list
Canada.
In the book, you say that the list was, where do you want to go? And it was one Canada, two Canada, three Canada.
Exactly.
Why Canada? What was it about Canada and that experience or wanting to be an ambassador to that country?
So Bruce mentioned, you know, his business engagement in Canada. But I will tell you that I have a familial connection to Canada. My great-grandparents and my grandfather emigrated from Belarus through London to Canada over 100 years ago.
Okay.
And so my grandfather left at 26 years of age from Canada and moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. So our family grew up south of the border, but I had this extended paternal family living north of the border in Toronto. They were the immigrant story like we share on both sides of the border. I didn't know my Canadian relatives in the deepest way. My great-grandfather and grandmother passed away when I was very, very young. And I learned about Canada through my grandpa. And so I always had this burning desire to understand more about what the country was like. Bruce mentioned the partnership idea of, you know, we wanted to go as a working partnership. We knew it would be a place that would be accepted. And we were very drawn by the people and the land and the connection to the land.
And I want to get into that because that's a big part of it, what you learn from the experience of living in Canada and being ambassadors to this country. And I want to also get into the relationships because, as I kind of mentioned at the top too, tongue in cheek about this being a relationship book, it really is. And you set out in the book to talk about the strength of diplomacy. And the idea of being an ambassador is all about relationships. It is not unlike a spousal relationship or a friendship or anything of that nature. It is all about the relationship you forge in that job.
So you don't fully appreciate that till you're dead in the middle of it. And sometimes those relationships get stressed over small issues. I think it's very important, and I learned this early on, that regardless of how small someone else thinks that you think an issue is, someone else may think it's really important. And so you need to take stock of that. You also need to sit down and have a perspective that two people can look at the exact same thing and see it completely differently and both be right. And so it's about getting understanding of another person's perspective. Again, in a spousal relationship or in a country.
How long did it take both of you to understand that was really at the crux of what this job was?
I think for me, relationships and developing relationships and building relationships and connecting people is just part of my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And when you accept a job like this, we're not trained diplomats. We didn't really, quote unquote, know how to be a diplomat. We just took our life skills and apply them to the job. So I think intuitively we defaulted to that relationship building as a platform. But in terms of thinking about this relationship between countries, hopefully modeling a healthy relationship in a marriage, I think that vernacular almost came to us as we were starting to write the book and thinking about, okay, in a good marriage, you know when to lead and you know when to follow. You need to know when to push, you know when to pull. You had to be authentic, to be trusting, to be appreciative of that deep, you know, support and friendship. And I think we've always had that kind of relationship with Canada. Canada has been undeniably our best friend. They have been there through thick and thin, you know, whether it was the Iran hostage crisis or our flights at Gander or you know, floods and fires here in the United States coming to help us fight side by side in Afghanistan. It's an unconditional idea that we're going to be there for each other. When that relationship is tested and those ideas of trustworthiness and support and yin and yang are not present, the relationship falters like a relationship in a marriage. And I think in these uncertain times and in these difficult times between our two countries, we see that happening in this relationship. And I think that idea makes it accessible to people. When you think about a relationship between countries being that deep and that tight of a relationship, it puts it in perspective and makes it real to you as a person.
Well, let's talk. I want to talk more about that, talk about the uncertain times, but also talk more about the book, The Art of Diplomacy, Strengthening the Canada-U.S. Relationship in Times of Uncertainty. The authors are former U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hayman and Vicki Hayman. We'll take a quick break here, and we'll continue the conversation here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guests in studio tonight on Extension 720 are the co-authors of the book, The Art of Diplomacy, Strengthening the Canada-U.S. Relationship in Times of Uncertainty, the former U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hayman, and his wife Vicki Hayman, co-ambassadors, really. But this book is really gives you an understanding of the ambassador's role. And there's a lot that was happening in some of the things that were in the news at the time when we're talking about 2014 to 2017, the beginning of 2017. One of the things, though, as you mentioned, Vicki, you are not diplomats. I mean, you worked on the campaign to reelect President Obama. they sent you to charm school. And I'm interested in this and what is being taught. What do they teach you that you still use that was useful in your job as ambassador to Canada?
So first of all, charm school is a euphemism. It's really not that charming. I would tell you, and I'm used to being in the financial service industry for decades, I'm used to rules and regulations. But you have never seen rules and regulations until you go to the State Department. And they have rules on rules on rules. And the rules even conflict. Like on this page, the rule says go left. And on that page, the rule says go right. And you're like, hey, wait a minute. This is in conflict with each other. And they go, yep, that's right. And so it automatically ties you up. So that's the first thing. The second thing is it was really clear sitting there that the ambassador was the lead. And anybody who went with the ambassador, partner, spouse, et cetera, was the other. And the other had really more rules on rules that you don't do this, you don't say that, you don't involve yourself with this. And it was really antiquated in terms of its approach, in terms of couples. And so we took that all in, but yet went on the path that we were going to go down. One of the things, though, that was very helpful. And, you know, in life, you never realize that when you hit a wall on something and then you have to take a turn and you don't have your expected path. But during that turn, actually, it turns out to be a gift and surprise. Well, the surprise for us was this was an extended confirmation process. Republicans and Democrats, hey, surprise, they weren't getting along so well. And they were holding up ambassadors for Barack Obama, all of them, right? A whole bunch of them. So being on the sidelines, I'm not the kind of person that just sits around. Maybe it's the, you know, little ADD in me, but I literally had meetings with secretaries and cabinet level meetings all across Washington over and over in each department. And so I'd go to Homeland Security and I go to the Transportation Department. I go to the Interior Department. I say, tell me about the U.S.-Canada relationship. Mm. What do you know? What do we focus on? What do we do?
You took that upon yourself to do that. That's
not something I did.
Yeah. We spent 50 days in Washington. The traditional charm school is a weekend with spouses, partners, and then 10 days with or without your partner. And that we did that together for the 2 weeks. But then when the delay took place, Bruce and I would go together. And even if there was a more security-based meeting, then I would go, let's say, to the Art and Embassy program and meet with culture folks and try to develop the platform I was going to do. So we used it really as our own kind of schooling process.
Did it help you?
Oh my gosh.
So what ended up happening – there was a second thing that we did. So I got up every morning. I'm here in Chicago, and you know we all use Fahrenheit, right? Canadians are in a completely different system, the metric system. So I got up in the morning and I switched my morning listening to the CBC in Ottawa.
Yeah, which is cool.
And I listened every morning about what it was going on weather-wise, community-wise, the news, the everything, because they wouldn't let me interact with Canadians officially because I had not been approved by the Senate.
Right.
And so my interaction with Canada came through the CBC. And so we do that every morning, switched all of our thermometers to Celsius, started thinking and talking that way, started thinking and talking in kilometers, and just to get our mindset. So if you do that, I actually think that delay was the better part of our education process because we took it upon ourselves to, you know, we read every book we could get our hands on about the prime minister, about Canadian history, about, you know, we would quiz each other on the provinces and the territories and the cities. And so we came and arrived in Canada with a strong base of knowledge, but it was from a U.S. perspective. And it wasn't until we are
met the Canadians
that we realized
our true teachers.
There's another side to all
you,
of this.
And in the book, you chronicled trips that you take to different places and shooting back oysters and you know, the things that you did to immerse yourself in Canadian culture. There's a great quote, I think it was from Pierre Trudeau back in the 60s. It's in the book about America being an elephant. And this idea that doesn't necessarily, even if it's a positive elephant, meaning it's not mad, every grunt and every movement is felt and reverberated in the ground.
As Canada is a mouse, right?
Yeah, right.
So
as knowing that and absorbing that, knowing that you're coming from this place where that seems to be a little bit of the balance of the relationship, were you aware of that? Were you aware of the might and the power of the elephant that was the United States?
I was aware of that, and I'm very appreciative of that sensitivity that takes place. That all being said, we were in the midst of this whole Keystone Pipeline discussion, which still is not resolved to this day, right? But the Canadians, and Prime Minister Harper in particular, had made this his big issue. And literally upon arrival, the Canadian government made it really clear that I was going to be the communicator in chief of taking the Canadians' request slash almost demand of, you got to give me this pipeline kind of thing back to Washington. And of course, I said, this is a process and this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it. But that wasn't what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear I was going to carry the water for them on this Keystone Pipeline, which I made it clear that that's not the path that I was working on. But, you know, that ended up, while really important at the beginning and really stressful at times in discussing these things, the broader story of the book is the path that we took in meeting so many people from coast, and they say coast to coast to coast because Americans don't have a perspective on it. Canada borders one country, that's us, and three oceans. So we say sea to sea, they say coast to coast.
When you think about this, what is it, 5,200-mile border of peace that we've shared, and the idea that we are so interconnected, not just, you know, interconnected through commerce, which we are, you know, not just interconnected through culture and our language, but through our families. We are, I mean, that's a point we make in the book. We are family across border. I mentioned my own family, but I share that immigration story with so many Americans and Canadians. There are over 1 million Americans living in Canada. You know, you think on the reciprocal, so many Canadians as well living here, you know, studying here, traveling here, vacation. So it's very much seamless, but yet we are 10x in population. Yeah. And so we are a big elephant, and we do cause ripples, and we see those ripples happening, you know, on a daily basis, particularly now.
Well, what I loved about the book, and the relationship with Prime Minister Harper is one of the storylines throughout the book about, and I say the word relationship because it is about this evolution of the relationship and how it starts where Prime Minister Harper comes in and he wants this, and this is going to be all business. And it ends with, you know, how you guys have all become friends.
A Vespa ride with Sophie.
Breaking bread.
Right. And it, art plays a big role, Vicki. And this was something that's in the book was surprising to me, but it made a lot of sense. And there's a great quote about history is what our country or what the you know what it was. Media tells the world as it is, but art imagines a future of where we live. And you take that to heart in this book and in your relationship with Canada. Yeah. And you used art to be able to engage and connect with your Canadian brethren.
I did. Visual art and film is a true passion for me. And I knew that was going to be one of my essential tools to do my work. And the State Department has a program that was started by John F. Kennedy and Jackie Kennedy, actually as a team, called Art and Embassy. And their idea was to bring American art into residences of ambassadors and embassies throughout the world to showcase American thought through the visual arts. And I thought, you know, that's a wonderful program, but being that we're next door neighbors, being that we're best friends, this was accessible. I wanted to install the art, but I wanted to take it off the wall into the communities with the artists and the artists' voices that actually created that work. So we had the extraordinary opportunity to get contemporary artwork from the very leading contemporary artists in our country whose work really drove a social impact. So
absolutely.
Some of our hometown favorites, like the Astor Gates and Nick Cave, came to Canada to talk about identity, race, social justice. We had an amazing American photographer, Stephen Wilkes, whose work addressed environment. We partnered him with Ed Bertinsky, one of the world's leading photographers on climate and environment. So the idea was to bring these American thought leaders in and not just bring them in for a lecture at the National Gallery of Canada, which we did, filled it with 400 people, but to take them into the community, to universities, host events at our home. And then when the artists were not there in reality, we had the work on our walls and we used our home to create salons and ways of bringing people together around the art to address these really tough issues. So while Bruce was having a difficult time with the KXL pipeline, we could bring people in and look at Stephen Wilkes' work and Ed Bertinsky's work, both addressing environment, and have a very civil, wonderful conversation.
It goes a long way, and it does go a long way to in a very thoughtful manner to engage and connect. And that word comes back again, this connect. And you know, you've used it in your career, mm-hmm. and you continue to, obviously in this book, you tell the tale of how you used it in your role as ambassador and ambassador to Canada. Bruce Hayman and Vicky Hayman are in studio. They are the co-authors of The Art of Diplomacy, Strengthening the Canada-U.S. Relationship in Times of Uncertainty. We'll take a break here, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about times of uncertainty here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Tonight, two of the co-authors of the book, The Art of Diplomacy, are in studio, Strengthening the Canada-U.S. Relationship in Times of Uncertainty. Former U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hayman, and his wife, Vicky Hayman, in studio with me tonight. We continue the conversation. There's something to be said about how connected these two countries are, and we continue to have almost beyond governments a connection as people. And it's a North American connection, and you see it, and you saw it firsthand. And I think there's a point in the book where you said, we need more Canada in the world.
President Obama said that in Parliament, when he came in 2016.
When you're in that position as ambassador and you're seeing how strong the relationship is, do you worry about the future? Do you worry about where we're at and how that isn't necessarily in the forefront as our two governments argue over trade or interact with a new administration?
So think about it this way. When you serve, whether you serve your community in the local level or whether you serve as we have a new mayor, or whether you serve in the federal capacity, I kind of think of this as a relay race. I've got the baton in my hand, and I'm running, and I'm trying to get as much accomplished in this period of time that I'm running as I can, and then you hand the baton off to someone else. On January 20th, 2017, when Donald Trump was sworn in, I honestly feel that Vicky and I together, and the United States of America and Canada together, did as much as we possibly could during the time period that we served our country. We gave it all we had. Every day we put into this relationship, and Vicky on the culture side, and I worked hard diplomatically on doing things like the prime minister coming in and having a state dinner, first time in nearly 20 years, the president coming in and speaking before parliament in more than 20 years, almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. We did pre-clearance agreements, we got environmental agreements, we accomplished about as much as I think we could have accomplished during this time period. And so for an ambassador, you hand that off. So two things. One, in the attempt to hand off the baton in a smooth and effective way, which is what I felt my job and responsibility was, I got to give the baton on to the next administration. They didn't want to take it, and they didn't want debriefings. They didn't want to hear anything.
That's a weird
they didn't
part
want to
of this
do
book.
It. It's really strange. You know, I'm screaming out basically through communications and letters. Like,
so
guys,
leading up to the inauguration of President Trump and the transition, it's pretty clear in your political world that you know that most, if you're an ambassador under a Democrat president, a Republican is not going to take you on. But there was no correspondence. They were not at all interested. And you really start right at the beginning talking about how the baton is passed and the relationship and what you need to know from the last ambassador that comes through. That's an important part of the journey of the ambassador is having that debrief meeting. And that was not something that the Trump administration cared about.
You know, it's unfortunate because there's so much resident knowledge within a number of people who work from one administration to the next that the whole concept of a transition is to gain that knowledge so then you can begin running down with your baton and keep going for the United States of America. And unfortunately, I had to take it and just put it on the ground. That's true with ambassadors around the world. And a lot of people who worked in the U.S. government were trying to do debriefs. They didn't have maybe they didn't even anticipate winning, but they didn't have an effective transition team where that's built into our system as well, that both the Democratic nominee and the Republican nominee have supposed to have big transition teams operating within Washington and to make this happen. One thing is that they had some transition team, but that was under Governor Chris Christie. And when they blew him out, all the people that worked with him also left. And they were left with virtually a shell of transition.
You don't ever think about that. The people that come along with some of the big politicians that might get moved quickly from a president who says, I don't want this person as part of my administration. That there's a team that is doing work underneath
exactly.
that. It also has to be removed.
Exactly.
Vicky, for you, I mean, you guys knew at a certain point that this was a short-term gig. Most times, you know, you're not going to have more than eight. Yeah, like you knew where it was coming. Was it hard to leave? Was it hard after 3 years of this experience to leave?
It was hard to leave the friends behind. I mean, Canada is part of our heart now. The people, the land, the culture, the incredible things we learned. And there's just so many riches in that country, the way in which people live their lives, their humility, their integrity. I, you know, I could close my eyes and walk across that, not walk, but go across that country from Peggy's Cove in Halifax, where I'm meeting a fisherman in Nova Scotia, where he's pulling starfish from the sea that are disappearing and teaching me that to protect the oceans, to a restaurateur, and you're going to read about this in the book, in Ottawa, who, you know, has become a dear friend and actually has bottled some Heyman hot sauce for us, to the incredible RCMP detail that we became dear friends with that taught us about Canada, individuals who worked in our residence from French Canada and experiencing two cultures, two languages, the way in which Justin Trudeau welcomed Syrian refugees at the airport with coats and hugs. You know, the way people feel about their education system, their pride, learning from Inuit elders. In the northern territories of the country, the polar ice circle, talking about their stewardship and protection of the water and the land and the indigenous ancient knowledge that exists in the country. I met a Métis man who became our beekeeper, and we actually started keeping bees on the property, protecting pollinators and creating sustainable gardens. So all that is in my head, it is in my heart. And, you know, you think about the extraordinary innovators and change makers that we met, and artists and their stories. So that, yes. And I guess when we left, in my mind, just I never thought I would leave that behind. Those relationships are alive and well.
You haven't.
And we have it alive and well today.
They're alive and well.
I was hopeful, but suspect, you know, about what I would find in the coming year or years with newly elected President Trump. And I thought, okay, you know, we left Ottawa, and I thought, well, let's see where this is going to go. And I remember just a few days after the inauguration, being back in my home, and the Muslim ban was instituted, and my breath was just taken away. I told you the story, my immigration story. I share that story with so many Americans, so many Canadians. My family on both sides walked through the doors to the United States and to Canada, fleeing and looking for religious and economic freedom. And there's no way in the world I'm going to shut that door behind me. And I saw that, and that just, that devastates me.
Well, and there's other things too, and the economic relationship, and it's playing out as we press speak. I mean, this idea that, you know, the trade negotiation or the trade pact at NAFTA that had been on the table for so long has been renegotiated, might be ratified, a new one, tariffs that were implemented and then taken back. There seems to be more of an emphasis on our economic relationship with Canada in a negative way, in a very standoffish way, than when you were ambassador or at any time in what I would think to be the history of that I can remember of this our countries.
So can you imagine being the U.S. ambassador and you're leaving January 20th and you feel like you're handing off in many ways this incredible relationship that is in really good stead? And not very many months later, there are headlines around the world that use the words U.S.-Canada war, trade, all of that in the headlines, that there's a trade war with Canada. Under what concept did you ever believe, or one would ever believe, that you'd see the word war and U.S.-Canada all together in a headline? That is so ridiculous and awful and hostile and inappropriate because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we need to preserve our friends and our relationships around the world. And the president that we have currently, President Trump, is treating these as more disposed, like some contractor and, you know, in a building or something, like a disposable. By the way, I don't even think those are disposable relationships, but he apparently does. And, you know, our best friend, our next door neighbor, our ally, and our greatest trading partner, you know, to treat it in this way is so distasteful for me and harmful and upsetting that it has actually energized us to take on a new role And this new role is the reason we wrote this book. And this new role is the reason we're out speaking very much about the U.S.-Canada relationship, is that when you become ambassador, you get this title for life in the United States. I believe that if you get something like that from your country for life, then it comes with responsibility. The other thing is that, you know, when you take office in the United States of America, you raise your hand and you pledge and you swear to protect and preserve the Constitution of the United States against enemies, foreign and domestic. But when that ambassadorship is over, you don't kind of swear out. Like, it isn't like this isn't a temporary thing, in my view.
Yeah.
So my view is that I am now a citizen ambassador. And the role of citizen that Vicky and I and everybody listening to this radio show, we're all citizens. And it's the most important role we play in our society. And when there's something wrong, we can't just be a bystander or point fingers or just say something. You've got to do something. And so in this particular case, I think the president that we have now, President Trump, has done harm and damage to the U.S.-Canada relationship. It's not irreparable. But it's going to take time and effort because the relationship was based on trust. And we're hurting that relationship.
The relationship, and the book is called The Art of Diplomacy. And there's a great line towards the end of the book about, and you say, the truth about great ambassadors is you can change your relationship, but to do so, it takes time. Diplomacy can and does work, but it takes patient communication. Now that you've been an ambassador and you both had the opportunity to serve your country and obviously write this book, do those words ring true? And not just in terms of diplomacy when it comes to trade agreements or the pipeline, but relationships and just the idea of what diplomacy is at its heart.
I would say something, and Vicky, dive in here, but I think relationships are based on trust, and trust is earned over a long period of time. You don't show up and meet somebody for the first time and say, oh, I trust you implicitly with everything.
Right?
Trust is earned. But trust can be lost in an instant. And what it takes to get it back is sometimes even harder and longer than what it took to earn it in the first place. And what we've done for a lot of Canadians is break the trust. And so we, America, are going to have to work really hard at earning that trust back. And we shouldn't minimize here just saying, oh, that's just his negotiating style and that's just what he's doing. No. We sometimes sitting here in Chicago or anywhere in the United States don't think about the implications of what the U.S. is doing internationally. And I'm here to tell you we're doing some significant damage to our allies internationally, and they're not going to be easily just put back together, even if you get a brand new president that meets the values that you think we should have.
Agreed. I mean, I think that we've been on this book tour in Canada as well, and it's surprising how deeply hurt and disappointed Canadians are, you know, just average Canadians, in what's transpired in the relationship, and they're giving voice to it. And the Canadians really do have a familial relationship with the United States, and they feel very close to us, and they, you know, want to believe in our better angels, and they want to be with us side by side. But like in any relationship, it's undeniable that they are our best friends. We have chosen them as our best friends. And, you know, when you think about a relationship with a best friend, you can't take that relationship for granted. You know, you can't like kick him in the knee and kind of, you know, hit him on the back and hit him when they're down and do that willingly and openly. And then just next day, oh, you're my best friend again. I mean, you have to rebuild that. So I think 2020, hopefully that presidency will change and we'll have a new president. But I think even with a new president, people to people, there is going to be a repairing period. And so, you know, what we're saying in this book is that we can all be citizen ambassadors, not just Bruce and me. It's a call to action for many people to express themselves and to engage and to look up. We're in a storm right now. We're in the eye of the storm here in our country. But look up and look around, because we have to, as citizens, give voice to the fact that this is important to us. We have to express ourselves to our neighbors and friends across the world who feel that they're losing us. And we need to engage politically and vote.
And one man is not going to destroy this. All of us as citizens, we have friends who are Canadians. We need to express that friendship. We have business relationships that are Canadian. We need to express the value of that and how important it is to us. And we'll get through this.
Yep.
The book is called The Art of Diplomacy, Strengthening the Canada-U.S. Relationship in Times of Uncertainty. The authors are the former U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hayman, and Vicki Hayman. Thanks so much for coming in
Thank you.
Talking. We appreciate
really
it.
Enjoyed it.
Pleasure.